Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Greasy Bear Blues. I am the One P Shark.
Sitting here, cool as a fan, relaxed, calm. I don't know what other terms to use to describe me just being zen. This you got Trail, Chief of Staff, Dilly Brooks Island. You know what it is.
Hey man, Sheedy checking in the paint. I'm gonna let y'all know. Yeah, we lost game one. Next slide. Send it to the big fella.
What's going on, y'all? The big man, Ed Tev Shakir, just letting you know that this is not how we do it. Let me not say that. Memphis ain't
how Memphis we do it. Ain't Memphis.
How about I say it? the remix of Montel Jordan.
Memphis this ain't how us. We do it. This ain't how we do nothing. Mm-mm.
Nope, this ain't how we do it, man. Send Chain Girl back to Minnesota, wherever she came from. This ain't it. But, you know, game one overreactions. A lot of people like to overreact about game ones around here. What are y'all thoughts about game one? Are y'all overreacting? Do y'all have any overreactions?
I don't think overreaction is the word. Concerned, most definitely. Now, am I still 100% fully confident that the Grizzlies can win the series? Yes, absolutely. However, there were some things that were like particularly alarming to Sharky's name, if you guys don't know. Again, apologize for what we'll get to him in just a second. but first and foremost, the Grizzlies did the exact same thing I expected them to do. They came out very flat in game one. And that just talks up to them not playing the game in well over a week. And then, of course, a lot of the players that were out there were resting. So, of course, that tends to happen. Minnesota riding the wave of them breaking the streak of clinching the playoff berth for the second time since the KG era. So it was kudos to them. They rolled their wave. They just came out and punched us in the mouth, to be honest with you. Now, where I draw my concerns, I'm going to save the one main concern because I'm going to let everyone else get their thoughts on that too. But Stephen Adams is at a total mismatch, and that's only because – the Timberwolves are basically playing five out and running screen and roll with Karl Anthony Towns. And they're just getting whatever they want with that matchup every single time. And of course, Cat is just going to sit out in the perimeter, and he's quick enough, fast enough to get around Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams is pretty much on an island when he has to guard the perimeter. So that's going to be a concern. I wouldn't be surprised if his minutes would cut just a tad bit in game two for adjustments and probably get some more bread just so you could be a little bit quicker to the punch there and move 3J to the five. Like I said, we'll get to him in a sec. But that's all I'm going to say for right now because I know we got a lot to say about 3J, so I'm going to kick it down to Sheedy.
Yeah, overreactions. I mean, let's be honest here. We talked about this before we started recording. Of every game that was played game one this past weekend, every game was relatively close besides the Heat trampling the Hawks. They won game one. If I remember correctly, this is a seven-game series. If I remember correctly, it's the first one to win four games before the other team wins four. And so I'm not going to say overreactions. I would say my word here is disappointed. I expected Memphis to come out, and I'm be honest, it's not me if I'm not honest. I expected Memphis to come out and hit him in the mouth. I expected them to win game one, and it didn't happen. But I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to overreact about it because, again, this is what's called a series, a playoff series, and it's the best of seven. They have the one up right now. It's 1-0. Of course, we'll dive a little bit deeper into all this moving forward, but a one game will not always determine a series. Sometimes there are moments in the series that will determine how a game or series will go. I'll definitely talk about how I felt about game one. I guess, do you want me to talk about it now, Cap, about game one, or just, okay. So I'll be honest with you. There was one play in game one. One play that, to me, took the sail out the winds of the Memphis Grizzlies for anything they had to do. And that play was when Karl Anthony Towns decided to dunk on, and we're going to get to this, a preferred defensive player of the year. And when I saw that happen, I actually didn't even think he made the dunk, to be honest. And when I saw him, went back to him and saw how he made the dunk, and then I saw Triple J push another play. He didn't even push Karl Anthony Towns. You didn't get mad at Karl Anthony Towns. You got mad at another player. And from there, like, it's something to be said about body language in games. And yes, we are a young team, and yes, we are not as always emotionally stable as we could be. And I promise you, I think that was one of the tipping points of the game, not the series, but I believe the game, because from that point, I did not see our whole heart into winning game one. But I'm gonna kick it down to the big fella, because he's probably got some other things that are more interesting than what I just had to tell you.
Good points, bro. If I was to bring up one word to describe this game, I think it'd be humble, right? I think that's where you get a lot of overreaction from as well, from this Grizz team and from the Grizz fan base. And honestly, I don't want to say I get it, but it's kind of well-deserved. Like, we're the number two seed for a reason. Like, we led the league in number one in a lot of stats that the Grizzlies did show that we were the number one, which was my thing when, you know, with the Grizzlies were blues, like, how are we going to lose if we were to lose? Well, we lose our defensive, you know, ability. That's number one. You can't lose that, especially in a playoff game. You can't have, you know, Anthony Edwards, no pun intended, coming out looking like the next Michael Jordan. Shout out to John for that Twitter post. But he came out, and the whole team, like, shit, you said that there was that one point where the Grizzlies lost that game. I think we lost it in the first 5 minutes. I mean, you can tell by the energy. We can tell that the Minnesota Timberwolves, no matter what we call Pat Bev, he has input some kind of code of toughness into the squad. We're not looking at the same Karl Anthony Towns that we've saw the 2 years. We're not seeing, D'Lo had an okay game, but he's gonna start doing his thing eventually. And you know, don't get me started talking about, again, like, Anthony Edwards, like, came out and just started bullying us. So we have to look that. We have to look ourselves in the mirror and fight back, which is why I'm happy Ja posted, you know, the Instagram pic or the Instagram video with the Michael Jordan Holders video. It's just one game. It's just one game. Let's treat it like that. Let's treat it as one game, but we cannot come out with the same energy that we had coming to last game. And if you look at the stats, like, I guarantee you, like, regardless of the hot stats that the Timberwolves will start off, I guarantee they're not scoring 130 points a game, you know, this series. I guarantee you the Grizzlies not missing 11 free throws. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee that they're not getting out-rebounded by 11 or, you know, out-assisted. I guarantee that a lot of stuff that we saw from play from game one, Taylor Jenkins, who should get coach of the year, is going to make the adjustments. I think we'll be fine, Grizz Nation. Just chill. Just chill. But it's just game one.
And look, and despite all that Took just mentioned, that this was still a winnable game for the Grizzlies. Like, yes, Minnesota came out, played probably one of their best games in the entire series and punched us in the mouth. But it wasn't like they just blew us off the floor. Like, the game was within range for the Grizzlies. It just didn't go our way. So it is what it is.
I guess since everybody else in, but let me input real quick before I give it to the Cap. So I didn't see the first, to your point, that first 5 to 10 minutes, right? What I heard while I was listening to the game was swish, swish, swish. And I mean, I'm telling our other podcast mate, Scott, I'm like, dang, they hitting everything. Okay, cool. They're going to cool down. I don't think nobody ever put some water or sand on that fire for them completely. To me, that might have been the best Minnesota Timberwolves game that they'll play.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I agree 100%.
And I'll give it back to Cap. My fault, Cap.
Yeah, that's on us. Sorry about that.
All right, y'all good. I want to agree with that, but I once saw the Miami Heat shoot like 70% from three in the NBA Finals, almost the whole series again. So, no, not Miami Heat. San Antonio shot like 70%, like through like what, games 3, 4, 5 against Miami that year. So, I'm not going to say that ain't possible to do again because I've seen it, but I doubt it. Then, you know, I don't know if y'all saw the shot quality thing on Twitter that was going around that if they play the game 10 times, the Grizzlies would have won 90% 9 times out of 10, I think. Based on the shots taken, the Grizzlies would have won 127 to 112 because Minnesota basically made a lot of tough shots, and the Grizzlies missed some easy ones. So
I can agree with that. I can actually agree with that.
And no doubt, Minnesota played great games. So I don't want to take away no credit from them. I think this is going to be a tough series. We didn't get a chance to give our predictions because we recorded before the play-in. We predicted Minnesota even. I think most of us picked the Clippers, if not all of us, picked the Clippers to beat Minnesota. So we didn't ever really get a chance to preview the series. So I actually had Memphis winning. I think me and Tuga, I know we definitely had Memphis winning in 5. That hasn't changed. Game one, I never overreacted game ones. I always thought the series would be close, though. Kind of like Memphis-Utah last year. The series was close. We lost in 5, but I think we got blown out. Game 5 was on the blowout, really. Every other game was close. I think game 2, we fell behind by like 20, but we came back and made it close before losing by double digits. But most of every game is competitive except game 5. So I kind of expect the series to go that way where it would be competitive, but we'll win close games and finish them off in 5. But just a couple of game 1 notes. We need to do so. I'm not on the whole thing. I think most of us think Trevor said it too. Don't be hesitant to do it. I would say go ahead, try and make the adjustment. Do what the Clippers did. They put Zubac, they put him on Vanderbilt, and they put Marcus Morris on Cat. Vanderbilt is not he's not even an offensive option. You know what I'm saying? So put Steven Adams on him. He's not a big, he doesn't shoot. He's a big man that kind of just stay down low. He don't really do much. He's like the glue guy, the garbage guy. So put Steven Adams on him. Put Triple J now. They probably scared of it because of foul trouble. With Triple J, okay. So I kind of understand it, but Triple J, bro, you got to find ways to have a foul trouble.
Yeah, I think that's why I mentioned just cut Steve's minutes just down a tad and get those minutes to Brandon Clark. Because like that's not a bad idea with putting Adams on Vanderbilt, but then you run the risk of Triple J getting in foul trouble by just throwing him on Cat. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, I'm just thinking starting out, not like necessarily the whole game, where cut Steven Adams' minutes, but you're still going to play him. So when you do play him, kind of make the adjustment trying to do that. But Triple J, he's just going to say he got to grow up. He's going to stay out foul trouble. I mean, he had 7 blocks when he was on the court. So I'm like, he made an impact when he was in the game. You just got to stay out of foul trouble. Now, some fouls were a bad whistle. Some, you could tell body language, and not just from him. I saw Ja looking on the sideline. They were kind of just like, yeah, you know, it was different. This wasn't the same, you know, talking Noah's Grizz from this season. It was pissing teams off.
Right. I mean, I was just about to say, like, bro, like, even with Steven Adams' numbers, right, like, you can just tell, like, I can agree with cutting his numbers down, but he got to find a way to be effective, right? Like, if you look at his stats, he got more fouls than anything. So,
I'm not saying completely bench him. I'm pretty sure he'll find a way. Yeah, it's just like
he got to be more physical for sure. Like he got to be more.
We need that same Steven Adams that showed up and dragged that Bulls player from the free throw line to his bench to do the same thing with Cat.
If Steve is playing like 22 minutes a game, I'm just throwing a number out here. I don't know exactly. If he's playing like 22 minutes, I need that down to like 19, and I need those additional 3 minutes going to Brandon Clark.
Brandon Clark. Yep. Or even Kyle Anderson, because you get
the Kyle Anderson.
Which
I would say Xavier Tillman, but we haven't seen Xavier Tillman in months, so I don't even think he's gonna even. There's no disrespect to him. I'm just being honest. Like I haven't seen him in the game.
Believe it or not, this would be a great game in a while.
This would be a great series one.
Exactly. I was just gonna say Xavier Tillman's defensive prowess, so to speak, does fit what we need for this series. And didn't see enough time from him, but I also think Coach Jenkins is again filling him out. But we also said before this all happened, before the season even, I mean, when I say season, I mean this playoff season started, we said that Memphis and Taylor Jenkins are not gonna cut this rotation down to 9 players only. He's gonna look to explore many of options because many of players have been successful for us throughout the entire season. So Xavier Tillman, let's give it an experiment. I'd rather try and fail than to never try at all, because we're going to lose anyway. And I'm not saying we're going to lose. I got Grizz in five. It's the starting five. Don't play with me.
And that's one of my favorite quotes too, the, you know, rather try than never try it at all. Try and fail than never try it at all. But hey, and thing is, now a lot of people are talking about, okay, Triple J struggling on offense. The Anthony Melton had his struggles. We scored 117 points. Offense wasn't the problem. We gave up 130.
Missed 11 free throws.
Yeah. Offense wasn't the problem. Wasn't the problem at all. It was defense. We gave up 130. Simple as that.
We get this guy, man. Energy right. is everything. And Minnesota came in this game with much better energy than we get.
Mm-hmm. And we ain't worried. Let's get it. Got game two coming up. But NBA dropped some award finalist announcements right before the playoff games. So, y'all can see on the screen, or did see on the screen. Here we go. Let's start with Defensive Player of the Year, since they actually announced the Defensive Player of the Year in Marcus Smart. Personally, I actually had no problem with actually winning, because it's been a while since a guard has won. So, it's just nice to see somebody outside the big man win. But Triple J wasn't part of the top three. Mikal Bridges, Rudy Gobert, and Marcus Smart. Did he get robbed of being the finalists?
Yeah, he should have got in over Rudy Gobert. I think Rudy Gobert just got put on just based on reputation. We saw kind of we saw a huge decline in Utah this season. I know what he means to that team as being a good rim protector, which is pretty much is all there is. You go small against Utah, you pretty much are going to be effective. So I would have loved to have seen 3J in there over Rudy Gobert. And apparently announcing rewards before playoff games could potentially be curses, because Marcus Smart was named Defensive Player of the Year, but then Kyrie put 39 on him in game one. So that's in all seriousness, congrats to Marcus Smart for winning that award. It's like Sharky said, it's nice to see a perimeter oriented player win it as opposed to a big, but yeah, I think 3J should have been in this conversation instead of Rudy Gobert. And there's no disrespect towards Rudy Gobert again, but I just feel that Jaren just had a better season on the defensive side of the ball than Rudy Gobert.
You, Cap, you put this up here, and you telling me that Bam was fourth place in front of Jaren Jackson Jr.? Oh, hell no. I can't go. Let me say this. Jaren Jackson, you have earned my respect back for not being invited, because I believe in what I believe in what I saw from you. I am a Miami Heat fan, and Bam Adebayo, for what I know for sure, did not play as many games as you did and affected that many games. So there's no reason why he is behind Bam. There's definitely no reason why he's behind Rudy. Rudy Gobert is just a name at this point. And yes, to your point, Trevor, he is a rim protector. Yes, they're paying that man what? Upwards of $35 million a season to protect the rim. I get it. But Rudy Gobert has a lot of great help defense, not one-on-one defense. And Triple J is not afraid, as we saw even in game one, to go against your best, so to speak, big, so to speak. And whether or not I win or not, he's going to play defense. 7 blocks while he's on the floor. Come on now. And you're not invited to the Defensive Player of the Year. This is the playoffs. This is the best 16 teams in the NBA. And you got 7 blocks while on the floor, and you can't be the top 3 Defensive Player of the Year finalists. Now, don't get me wrong. Marcus Smart has a hell of a game. I know Kyrie dropped 39 or whatever it was, 38 on him. But Marcus Smart played some great D. Mikal Bridges, has played great defense the entire season. Those two deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. Rudy, to your point, Trevor, does not. So if anything, I am nixing him and putting in Jerome, because he's definitely, and I mean for surely, in the house. What you think, big fella?
Because I'm a big man, bro, this is actually tough for me, man. because... y'all know I love Jaren. If it's anybody that's been on a boat for Jaren long, it's definitely me. But if I was to look at this list, and I'm pretty sure that even though the Suns had – okay, let me see. So they got Monty Williams and Cam Johnson, which I don't – it's like I honestly don't see how Mikal Bridges is in the top three. That's just me, to be honest with you. Rudy Gobert, we talk crap about him as much as we do, and it's understandable, but he still averages the most rebounds in the league and 2 blocks per game. Like, you gotta kind of make a connection there with some people. And you got analysts, quote-unquote analysts, that, you know, only look at the numbers, and they see 15 boards a game by Rudy Gobert, 2 blocks. So, I mean, that could kind of put him there. Me, I like Mikal Bridges, but as far as defensive player of the year, I don't see how he could have been up there with the Jaren Jacksons, you know what I'm saying? But that's just me. I don't know if we're going to talk about the other awards or not, but we can disagree on them if you want to. But as far as offensive player of the year, I honestly get Rudy Gobert. We talk a lot of crap about him again, but defense is defense for a reason, and the Jazz are still a top five team, unfortunately, with him in the paint. That's just my opinion on it. Marcus Smart, I guess he deserves it, but I still think Jaren deserves to be up there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And Marcus Smart is the first guard to win since Gary Payton in 1995 to 1996. So it's definitely been long overdue. I am glad to finally see a guard win. But Jaren should have been in. Well, he led the league in blocks per game. And this is the first year I really heard the stat stocks, blocks and steals. But he led the league in that as well. So for a player to lead the league in that, those three categories, and not be in the top three, that's kind of messed up. But hopefully he's first team all defense. You know, that can be a great, you know, make up for that.
Yeah, he can't get robbed in depth.
Yeah.
If he's not on the all defensive team, he's not first team.
Unless we just saw them try to put Bam over him, which I clearly don't get. We got two E fans that can, you know, go with or against that statement, but I don't see how Bam gets the nod over Jaren as far as first team
defense. No, I'm with you. I completely agree that he should not. Bam should not be. Because of the amount of, I mean, Cap just gave you the stats, but on top of the stats, he ain't been there for a certain amount of games because of his hand. How are you still defensive player of the year, third or fourth, whatever the thing is, fourth in the voting? But Triple J, who played, what, 80 games this season? At least northward of 75, and he's not being invited? I don't do that. I don't do the disrespect.
Mm-mm. I ain't from Mikal Bridges been locking folks up all year. I wouldn't mind being one. That wouldn't have been bad. But looking at the final ball tally, it's not. Yeah, Jaren should have been ahead of Bam. Bam was very close to Rudy. He was only 8 points away from taking him for three. So
if I'm not mistaken, I think Mikal Bridges led the league in steals this year.
He did. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Just a little, almost three a game. So, yeah, you got to put a little respect on that. So I can see why he's in that conversation, deservingly so, because he's played great defense all season. So,
in every game,
yep.
I saw a stat. He hasn't missed a game.
He hasn't missed a game since I can't remember the last time he missed a game. It was probably high school when you think about it. So,
hey, that's way out, man. But let's go on and get on to the awards. They kind of melted the Grizzlies the most. I guess you could say the top three most valuable. Ja missed a lot of games. We knew he might be top three. Rookie of the year. Zaire had a good year, but he wasn't going to be, you know, top three rookie of the year and sixth man of the year. Now, Took might have something to say about that. I did see a tweet about you with Tyus Jones. You
absolutely.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
So, yeah, sixth man of the year, Kevin Love. I don't know how the hell he up here. Excuse my language.
Hey, Kevin Love. Hey.
Nah.
Out there, man.
Kevin Love is doing some damage off the bench.
Hey, Cleveland had a good year now.
You got to put a little respect on Kevin Love.
Look. I'm with you, too. I didn't see Cleveland in the playoffs.
Cleveland had a great year there in the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs, I'm sorry. But they could have been in the playoffs. Could have been maybe next year. But Kevin Love, no. Ty Jones, people on Twitter saw me. Most agree. He should definitely have been, in my opinion, the award winner for this, if not Tyler Hero. But I can give Tyler Hero this for sure. But when you talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, 18-2 without Ja Morant, Ty Jones scoring double digits in 18 of those are the reason we win. The only time we don't win is when Ty Jones don't score double digits. The fact that Ty Jones broke the record for assists per turnover ratio as a backup point guard, it should speak volumes to the whole entire league. So the fact that these quote-unquote analysts don't understand how important Ty Jones is coming off the bench, which the award for sixth man of the year is supposed to be to the player who contributes off the bench, who doesn't start as much as he should, and still the Grizz kept rolling, and they're the number two seed for a reason. Ty Jones is a huge part of that.
But did Ty Jones come off the bench when he scored double digits, though?
I mean, he's a sixth man, though. My thing is, as a sixth man,
you know, that
know he's not a starter, though, bro.
That has,
you know,
he's not a starter. Yeah, you know, that's like, he's not a starter. Is he getting these double digits while he's coming off the bench as the first guy off the bench, or is he getting these double digits as a starter?
I mean, he's getting double digits off the bench because he's getting more time to play. But my thing is, as a backup, that's what you're supposed to do. It's next man up. And the fact that he was able to assume the next man up and still keep the Grizz moving. Like, when Ja Morant went down, let's be real, none of us expected them to go the run that they did in December. That should have mattered. Like, I think Ty Jones' effect as far as coming in and stepping up off the bench has been more important than Kevin Love's. I damn sure think it's been better than Cam Johnson's, in my opinion. But that's just me. That's just me.
I was just playing devil's advocate. I can give you that.
I know. I know you love songs, bro. You want to do that to me.
But most improved, you know, Darius Garland, Ja Morant, DeJounte Murray. Yes, Toop now. Toop, you're a Golden State fan as well. Jordan Poole.
I didn't see him, Cap.
Where you at?
I didn't see him.
Where you at?
I 100% believe they got all finalists wrong.
He could have been for six man or for most improved. Like, come on, man. Yeah. Where he at?
I thought he was the favorite to win most improved. I ain't go front. To win it.
They would have awarded Jordan over Bane, I would have been happy. But the fact that Bane ain't in most improved, they give us one, Chris, I guess.
Go ahead,
Trevor.
No, go ahead, because I'll get my point across. You can wait. Go ahead.
Oh, well, she. Let me not cuss. So you're telling me, NBA, that the most improved player, who should and could be Ja Morant, who also should be considered as first or second team all NBA, as most improved player. That's not most. He should be in the MVP talk, so to speak. But I know, you know, missed the many games. I don't know what the ratio is, 50 plus games or whatever. Or whatever it may be. But this is, I'm gonna go back to six man of the year. That's disrespectful to put Kevin Love in there. I believe that someone from the Grizzlies could have been in there. Yes. Tyus Jones, I had as MVP of the Grizzlies, so I could see anyone from the Grizzlies, to be honest. I didn't see Kevin Love. But Ja Morant as the most improved player? No, he's just the most improved player because y'all decided to put more cameras on him. That's all. He been doing this. He been killing. He was killing last season too. But like, I don't understand. I really need the metrics at which these analysts measure all of these things. I really don't get it. Darius Garland, great season. He's brought up Cleveland. I think a lot of that was between, it was Darius Garland, or is it going to be Colin Sexton? I think they really found that groove in Cleveland as to who it was. But guess what they're doing? It is Monday, April 18th, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are either having practice for next season or they're on the couch. Same thing with D. Murray. Same results. So if you're asking me personally, that should leave Ja Morant to at least win that award, because at this point you're just kind of giving us something, and I guess you're going to give the Grizzlies some award. Give us something.
but you cannot disrespect the second seed of the NBA, the NBA, and not give us nothing. Sorry.
You got to think, Sheedy, we live in a world where it's levels to it, right? Unfortunately. We all thought that John Morant should have been in the MVP conversation for sure, but honestly, seeing the most improved by Ja, by looking at his numbers for sure, like you can tell that the elevation was there. Like one of the first earlier episodes, if not the first episode of this season, you know, I talked about how third year point guards like Ja Morant take that next step. So when I do see a Ja Morant hit a most improved player of the year, it's kind of head on a nail for what we thought had coming into the season for sure. Now his numbers are MVP-ish. His impact for the team is MVP-ish for sure. But I mean, we look at the contestants for the MVP. I mean, who are we going to knock down for Ja at the same time this year? So maybe next year, you know, he played more games. The Grizz still a top four team. You know, his levels to it, he continued to average the numbers he do, maybe more next year. But as far as most improved, I wouldn't mind seeing Ja Morant do it. I think out of all of them, the awards that the NBA got right there, I think Rookie of the Year, Most Improved, and MVP are the ones that didn't mess up on, to be honest with you.
I can count that one. They completely messed up on this most improved player. I'm sorry. Yes, 100%. Now, okay. I get it because I feel, to Sheedy's point, I think Ja Morant is only a finalist just because you got to give the Grizzlies something. Because I can tell you right now, they're not going to get coached. As much as we both feel that Taylor Jenkins should be coach of the year, and we'll probably talk about that soon, they're more likely going to give it to Monty Williams. I just think Ja Morant is here as just a placeholder for the real finalist for Most Improved Player, which should have been Desmond Bane. So that's number one. Number two, Darius Garland and DeJounte Murray, basically they had pretty much the same season, the same type of season. All-star caliber year, only got in the all-star game because of injuries, and they both were in the play-in, and where are they now? Sitting at home as of today on April 18th. So you can take one of those guys out pretty much and then replace it with Jordan Poole. So the actual finalist should have been Desmond Bane, Jordan Poole, and you choose between Darius Garland and DeJounte Murray. So that's just how I feel. I just think Morant's there because
I like that too.
We got to give the Grizzlies something because they got the second best record in the NBA, and there's no way that they should not be empty-handed in some shape or form. So that's just me, though.
Yeah, I think y'all correct. That's exactly what they're doing. And I guess it seemed like this. So all three of those players last season, they did improve this season. All three of them made the All-Star team. Last season, they didn't have made in their career. So I guess that's the reason, because Jordan Poole didn't make the All-Star team. So I don't know what – I need to look at the true criteria for it, most improved. Like, because, like
– if it's one.
I don't think it's one.
Yeah, it came because Jordan Poole doesn't make, man. That's –
besides that second of year, that second year thing, Cap, that's the only thing that I've heard about the research I've done, is that they don't really accept second year sophomores, so to speak, in that award, because you're supposed to ascend from your rookie to your sophomore year. So I don't get that, and I'm not gonna say I do. I don't get that. When you see the level of improvement that both of those brothers have done, they both deserve to be there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take your time.
Because it's another player on the list at six man, Tyler Hero, who he didn't improve as a sophomore, but he improved as third year player. So sophomore slumps happen, and that happened with Tyler Hero. So I guess whatever they want to make it. But hey, we probably will get an award because, like Trevor said, coach of the year finalist Taylor Jenkins did make it. Eric Spoelstra, I understand, because of the injuries. Because Jimmy Butler missed time, Bam missed like a month and a half. Kyle Lowry is out for personal reasons and injury. So they were kind of, you know, they end up in one seed with all the injuries that they had. But Monty Williams didn't win last year. He should have won last year. Because he didn't win last year, because they gave it to Tom Thibodeau, he's probably going to win this year, basically.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm not mistaken, well, no, I take that back. Never mind. But, yeah, it's definitely last year, though, because they gave that to Tibbs. Mm-hmm. And that clearly shouldn't have went to Monty Williams, but. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that's literally the case. So, unfortunately, and Joe Mundick, check out the blog on greasybreadblues.com. He wrote a blog about this today. And that was his consensus. Ja will probably win most improved. Taylor Jenkins will probably finish second in coach of the year. And he's kind of dove in about Jaren Jackson being robbed of Defensive Player of the Year and making cases and Devil's Advocate for both ends. So please check that out on GreaseTheBreadBlues.com as well. But it's prediction time. We got games 2, 3, and 4 before our next episode. What you got? What you got? Next three games.
So I at first I said Grizz in 5, but I honestly didn't expect them to win game 1. I'm not gonna cap. I do expect them to win another game in Minnesota. Not gonna cap. Because like I said, D'Angelo Russell, it's something about him that he didn't have a good game. I don't expect him to have a great series per se, but I do expect him to do enough for them to win one more game. I think that one game he provided that extra spark, that'll probably be like a game 4. So I expect us to win the next 2, lose game 4.
Well, he basically put, so what they did was the reason Ant went off and D'Lo didn't go off because Dylan Brooks had to guard one. He gonna guard one of them. They put him on D'Lo.
I don't know why they shouldn't have put him on D'Lo. Should have just left him on Anthony Edwards. Like, I think Skyler brought this up before. I think before we recorded last week, like, try, and I think Savage said it on Twitter as well. Shout out to Savage. Try Zaire on D'Lo. Like, try to put some length on him. Try to bother him just a tad bit. So, but for me, I'm going to go 2. This is going to be 2-2. Going back to Memphis for game 5, which I'm definitely going to look to try to be in the house for. Wasn't expect Minnesota to steal this game, but they did. And I do expect them to at least win one on their home floor. And I do expect the Grizzlies to come out much better on tomorrow. And I also expect them to steal one in Minnesota. So, yeah, it'll be 2-2. Coming back to Memphis for game 5.
Yeah, if anything, you know, we've discussed, like, when it's a playoff time and you're at the home team, there's some other players that kind of shine, not like your role, well, realistically, your role players or your bench players. But what also I've learned this season is the Grizzlies have done me wrong every single time. This time, I don't think they'll do me wrong because in my head, I'm with y'all, 2-2. But my heart is saying, Sheedy, you said Grizz and 5. Stick to Grizz and 5.
Stick with it.
So I got us 3-1 coming home to get the cake on game 5.
Thank you, Sheedy. I'm sticking to what I said. Grizz and 5. Give me Grizz and 5, man. It's going to be 3-1 when we come back on this episode next week. We're going to finish them off.
I would love for it to happen. Not get me wrong. I would welcome a 3-1 lead coming back to Memphis. For me to be in the house for game 5, yes, I would welcome that. So prove me wrong, please.
I ain't going to lie. After game 1, kind of like 2, I was thinking, like, dang, this y'all might actually go 6. Nah, I got to stick with 5. I call 5. I'm going to stick with it. Grizz and 5. I just pray and hope that when we come back next week, we ain't swept. That'll be the worst. I'll probably be crying if that happened, man. Oh, man. But that does it, man. That was fun. Remember to follow us at the Starting 5, the number 5 MEM. Remember to listen to other podcasts, the 3&D podcast, Core 4 podcast, GBB Live, and the Long View. Remember to follow Grizzly Bread Blues at SBN Grizzlies and follow me at @the_PSHark.
Memphis, the art of Trevor, of is a preposition, and Memphis is trash because it ain't it. But of is a preposition. So, hey, the art of Trevor.
Yeah, it's time to flip everything. Last season, we won game 1 and lost 4 straight. Now we lost game 1. Now we're going to win 4 straight. It's really shitty. Big fella, what you got?
Man, this ain't it again, but this is your boy at Tav Shakir. Make sure y'all hit us up on Twitter. Interact with us, man. Just chill. It was just game 1, y'all. Just game 1.
We're going to be all right.
If we do this game 2, though, we got to come up with a new slogan. Because that's what that is. It's a bad luck curse.
Bro, they got new towels. It's what? Mem ain't running.
I just saw it.
Memphis.
Like, I actually want a towel, bro. It's like if they gonna have Memphis on it, y'all can keep them in Memphis.
Here we go. I just added. Here we go. Ain't no running in the M.
That's better. That's better.
Yeah, much better than Memphis.
Yeah.
Now let's prove it.
Right. Yes. Because I'm man, y'all, you tweeting all these picks with the MJ with the bat and stuff. They better, boy, lose game two. It's gonna be clown session on Twitter.
I'm gonna have to stay on Twitter for a minute because that's gonna be hilarious if that happens.
But until next time, man, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.